All right, let's open our Bibles, please, to the Gospel of Luke. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, for the message this morning. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. While you're turning, two announcements. The teenagers are going on a mission trip this summer, and as they do every year, they're trying to raise the money for the trip, and they are going to the to one of our missionaries that we support down in Grenada, down in Southern Caribbean, and Michael Lambert is the missionary pastor of what's that called, Mama Cans. Baptist Church down there, and they're going to do a neighborhood Bible time program for the community, and then Michael has been trying to get me to come for years and do a revival meeting in the evenings, and so Pastor Josh came and asked me if I would go on the trip, so I'm going to go with him this year. And they're going to keep an eye on me, but I'll go with them. And we're going to have a great time. But as you know, teenagers don't have money. So every year they come and say, Pastor, can we raise the funds with the red envelopes outside? So out on the table right under the mission board, you will see a video of last year's missions trip. And also there on the table are the red envelopes. And what they ask you to do is take one of the envelopes down in the bottom. I think it's on the left-hand side at the bottom. It will have a number. And just so you know, the number 1 is gone. And the number 2 is gone. And the number 3 is gone. So there was a bit of a scuffle out in the by the table this morning early over who was going to get that envelope, that number 1 envelope. The reason is because whatever number is on that envelope, that's how much money or a check for that amount we ask you to put in the envelope. So the number 1, it's gone. But if you could help out with that, and every year you do, and we appreciate that so much, and if you'll stop by there this morning after church and take an envelope, whatever you can do to help. Josh made the point that there is an envelope out there with a 1 on it, but it has a couple zeros on it as well. But if you could help with whatever you can do, you can put that in the offering plate or give it to one of us. That's fine. We'll make sure it gets turned in or just slide it under the door of the office, however you want to handle it. And then a second thing is next Sunday night is our ice cream fellowship. But first, we have 3, 1 in each of the summer months. And we've got a couple of new flavors for this coming year. All the favorites are there, but then we are throwing in a couple of new flavors. And we get this ice cream from where? Hoffman's. Ooh, it's good stuff. Homemade ice cream. So that'll be next Sunday night. Now, for all of you that are anti-ice cream, that's fine. Just come, enjoy the fellowship. You don't have to eat ice cream, all right? You don't have to do it. Just come and fellowship, and let me know if you don't want any ice cream, because I'll be more than happy to take your portion. That's no problem. But ooh, it's good ice cream. So that'll be our first fellowship, and that's next Sunday. Now, Pastor Campbell said next Sunday is we're giving away Father's Day candy. Not next Sunday. That's the Sunday after, the 15th, all right? Next Sunday is the 8th. Today's the 1st. And let's not get ahead of ourselves here. Enough chocolate for one day is ice cream, all right? We'll give you more chocolate the following Sunday, all right? Oh, my goodness. Okay, Luke chapter 2. Everybody there? All right, now let's remember, we're going to enter into the spirit of the service, okay? All right, I want you to get this. I thought this was such a neat little idea, and it blessed my heart as I was preparing the message. I just was excited and thought, wow, this is such a neat idea. All right, look at verse 40, if you will. This is talking about the Lord Jesus, and of course, Luke chapter 2 is his birth. And we have the story that we're all so familiar with at Christmas time. But now you get to the end of the chapter, and verse 40 says, "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." And then Luke tells us this little story that happened when our Savior was 12 years old. And so it's a familiar story to you, but let me read it, and then I'll make the point that I want to develop the message around in, as we read. In verse 41, it says, "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it." Now you say, "Well, Pastor, what's that mean?" That means that they traveled from Nazareth to Jerusalem and probably traveled as a family, as a big group. They were probably several people in the caravan that went down. And so they stayed for the feast, and then they left, and everybody left except Jesus. He stayed behind. They did not know that they had left him behind. Read on. And it says, "But they, supposing him," verse 44, "to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days," oh, can you imagine? Can you imagine? 4 days now, the day that they journeyed, and then they had to come back, and now 3 days, they have been looking for him, and they cannot find him in the city. Poor Joseph, that's all I can say. Man, you know he got blamed for this. You know it was his fault. I mean, come on, let's be real. You know it was his fault. And can you imagine the fear that was in their hearts? Verse 46, "And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple sitting in the midst of the PhDs." That's what that means. The doctors of the law, not medical doctors, the doctors of Judaism, those men who spent their lives being schooled in the law of Moses, the PhDs. Now, that doesn't stand for post-hole digger. All right, that's a doctor of philosophy, the PhDs, both hearing them and asking them questions. So here's Jesus sitting in the midst of all these educated men, and he is questioning them and in answering their questions. You know, I've said to you many times that I've got a lot of questions. Questions that, humanly speaking, they're just are not answers to. And when I get to heaven, of course, I'm going to know even as I'm known when I get to heaven. So I'll already know the answers when I get there. But man, do I have a lot of questions about things. And I'm sure these men had some questions. And then here's this 12-year-old boy sitting in their midst answering all of their questions. Wow. Wow. What was the end result of that? Well, look at verse 47. It says, "And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers." And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. Oh, I can imagine. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my father's business? Now, when I read that verse, verse 47, it occurred to me that our God pulls a lot of surprises on us. Our God is the God of surprises. These men sat and listened to Jesus, and they were surprised. They were amazed at his understanding. And that got me to thinking about a number of surprises that you read about in the Bible. You know, the truth of the matter is, I could have turned to hundreds of verses of Scripture and read where God did something and somebody was surprised by it. I could have turned to any number of passages of Scripture and used them as a text this morning. But I want to use this to kind of launch us into the message. I think it is very obvious and very clear as to what happened here. And so I want to preach to you a message this morning that I've entitled, When God Surprises Us. Let's pray together and then the message. Our Father, we thank you so much for the Bible. And I pray that you will bless this morning as we think of this matter of you as our God surprising us with your wonder, with your might, with your power, with your grace. Father, help us this morning to see the point. Help us to see it and understand it, and then to better love you and better appreciate your mercy and your goodness and grace towards us. Father, I pray that you will fill me with your Spirit and help me as I speak. But Lord, I also pray that you will bless our folks as they listen and give us understanding and give us spiritual ears that we may hear, not just with our ears, but with our hearts, the message that you have for us today. Bless now, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I want you to notice in verse 47 that the good doctor, Luke, Dr. Luke, tells us that all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. You know, the truth of the matter is there are many, many times when God surprises us. These folks were surprised when this 12-year-old boy, whom they did not know was God in the flesh, they did not know at the time that he was God in the flesh, but these people were surprised when he showed up at the temple and when he had all the answers to the questions that had plagued them for many, many years. And that got me to thinking about all the times that you can imagine folks were surprised when God did something in their lives. I'm thinking, my mind started running, and I started to think about Adam, the first man that was created and placed in the Garden of Eden by God. My mind went back to Adam, and I can imagine that Adam was surprised when he woke up from a nap with a sore side, but then sitting there waiting on him to wake up was the most beautiful creature that he had ever laid eyes on. I can imagine that God surprised Adam in an amazing way when he gave Adam his helpmeet, Eve, on that day. What a surprise that must have been. I can imagine that Noah was surprised when the mighty hand of God closed the door of that ark. They spent 120 years building that ark. And then God told Noah to go get the animals and bring them in, and he did. And then he took his family and he put them in the boat. And once inside the boat, I'm sure that everybody looked at one another and said, okay, now what do we do? And I'm sure that Noah and his family stood there surprised when all of a sudden the hand of God reached down and took the door of that ark and closed it shut. Could anybody have been any more surprised than Hagar when Abraham kicked her out? Sarah said, I can't take any more of this. And she has got to leave and take that child with her. And so Hagar and Ishmael take off back to Egypt. Folks, if you've ever been on the road from Israel down to Egypt, it's desert. It is nothing but desert. And there's nothing out there but sand. And you can imagine how frustrated she must have gotten when she realized we're not going to make it. And she runs out of water. And her child is thirsting. And she is thirsting. And she takes the child down and lays him in the shade of a tree to die. She cannot stand to watch him die, so she walks away. And when she collapses, how surprised she must have been when she heard the gurgling and the bubbling of a well of water just a few feet away from where she collapsed. Oh, the surprises of God. God took care of her. I mean, I think you can see that there are any number of texts which I could have chosen this morning to show you that God often surprises us in many, many wonderful ways. I was thinking about the psalmist who wrote many times in the Psalms of how the Lord met his needs and how surprised he was that God would think of him and meet his needs in an amazing way. And then there's the Apostle Paul. You get over into the New Testament and the Apostle Paul begins to write the epistles. And Paul said that all of us have no idea how wonderful heaven is going to be for us when we get there. He said, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of any man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. You know, we all have these preconceived ideas of what heaven is going to be like, but the Apostle Paul writes and says, hey, all of your preconceived ideas, it's going to be that and so much more. The surprises that God has for us. I wonder how many surprises God has for us when we get there. You know, I was thinking about that surprise birthday party that the Conquerors class had for Pastor Stainer a few years back. He loved that so much. He talked about that all the time. I mean, I'm so glad now that we were able to do that for him because it meant so much to him. And the truth of the matter is, we all like surprises. We like to be surprised and we like to be a part of surprises. And I think that God likes pulling little surprises on us. I think God delights in surprising us and blessing us in so many ways. So I want to speak to you this morning on the surprises of God. And I want you to think with me now of a few areas where our loving, compassionate, glorious God surprises us along life's way. First of all, think for a moment of God's element of surprise in nature. All of us love and appreciate the fact that the seasons change here in Maryland. How many of you grew up in Florida or down south where the seasons do not change? Would you lift your hand? Any of you? A few of you did. Don't you like the change of seasons here in Maryland? I do. It's all I've ever known. Growing up in West Virginia and now and living in Illinois and then living here for the last 18, 19 years, it's all I've ever known. And I can remember when I was in college, we left West Virginia and went down to Greenville, South Carolina. And one of the things that I noticed was there was not that dramatic change when the seasons changed. The trees, many of them, they kept their leaves year round. The flowers, they were always there. And I remember it was kind of shocking to me. And although the seasons change each time for us here in Maryland, the truth of the matter is each one is full of surprises, is it not? I mean, every time it changes, it's something new. And we see something that we did not see before. We could have seen 50 springs in our lifetime, but when spring comes around in year 51, it returns full of wonder, and we are totally amazed by it. I never get tired of spring coming to you. I never do. I mean, we can have witnessed the budding of the dogwoods 50 times in our lives, yet we would certainly stop at year 51 and we would comment on the beauty of this year's blooming of the dogwoods. The truth is, folks, there is a new note of music every time a flower blooms if we let it speak to us. Isn't it amazing how we can build a house, we can build a structure, we can build a building of some kind, and eventually it will deteriorate and it will crumble. But God, the Creator, builds an oak tree, and it is a constant succession of surprises. I mean, here's this massive oak tree, and spring touches it, and it bursts with life. And then summer kisses it, and it thrives with greenery. Fall then comes, and the leaves all turn and fall off, and the acorns fall off with constant movement. And then winter hits it, and it stands like a monument of its former glory, dreary and sad. But the amazing thing is about creation, the amazing thing is about God's nature, is that it then starts the whole process all over again. It's amazing what God does. The great Creator of this world is the master of the unexpected. He delights in the springing on us the method of surprise. And folks, that's one of the wonders of the world, that God constantly surprises us with nature. The second thing I want you to notice, I want you to think for a moment of this element of surprise that we encounter in life. Think of this element of surprise that we encounter in life. You know, the truth of the matter is, our lives are just full of surprises. I mentioned a moment ago some of the Bible characters. Let me emphasize this point that I want to make telling you the story of a couple of Bible characters. There are so many I could reference who were completely surprised by something that the Lord did in their lives. They certainly were not expecting what happened to them to happen. But folks, that's the way God works sometimes. Man, I'm glad for the surprises that God has given me. You know, I was surprised one day down in St. Albans, West Virginia. I came out of the office and walked down the hallway and turned the corner, and there was standing this little girl named Karen Singleton. Oh, when I saw her, bells went off, whistles started blowing. I mean, and now for 150 years, we've been married. Oh, God gives you some wonderful surprises. Think about some of the Bible characters. I mean, think for a moment about Samuel. You remember Samuel in the Old Testament? Here was this woman that wanted to have a child, and she could not have a child, so she went and prayed and asked God to give her a child. And she promised God. She said, Lord, if you give me a child, I will take that child and give him back to you. And so God gave her a little boy. And she held up her end of the deal, and she brought that little boy to work with Eli at the tabernacle. And so he stayed there. He's just a kid. And one night, he was laying in bed, sound asleep, and all of a sudden God began to speak to his heart. God called his name, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel heard the voice. He woke up. He thought, wow, who just spoke to me? And he thought it was Eli speaking to him. So he got out of bed and he walked into Eli's room and said, yes, you called for me? Eli said, I didn't call for you. Go back to bed. He went back to bed and God called him again. He then got up, went into Eli and said, you called for me? He said, no, I did not call for you. Go back to bed. He then heard God speak a third time, got up, walked in and said, look, I know you called for me. I heard you call for me. No, it wasn't me. Go back to bed. But this time when you hear the voice, you say, yes, Lord, thy servant heareth. Folks, was anybody any more surprised than Samuel when God called him to be the next prophet and judge in Israel? No. Man, he was surprised by that. He had no idea what God was doing. I want you to think of David's surprise. I mean, here's David out taking care of his father's sheep. He's just a teenage boy. No doubt, all the others kept the sheep. But now it was David's turn, being the youngest. And so Samuel, this prophet, comes to the house of Jesse, and he says to Jesse, God has sent me here to anoint one of your boys to be the next king in Israel. And so Jesse was excited. He called all of his sons in, lined them all up, the oldest to the youngest, and thought to himself as he looked at his boys, wow, look at this bunch of godly men. Look at these strong, strapping men. Surely God can find a king out of one of my boys. And so Samuel stood and looked at the first one, and God said, nope, it's not him. He looked at the next one, nope, it's not him. He looked at the next one, nope, it's not him. And Samuel went through each one of those boys standing in front of him. And with each one, God said, no, it's not this one. And so Samuel, confident and secure in his knowledge of God, turned to Jesse and said, do you not have any other son? Surely you must have one more, for none of these is the man chosen by God. And Jesse said, well, we got the youngest, but he's out taking care of the sheep. And so Samuel said, you send a servant to get him, and we will not sit down until he comes. Can you imagine David's surprise when out on the hills of Judah, he sees a lone figure coming? That figure gets closer and David rubs his eyes and says, I think that's my father's servant. And then all of a sudden he recognizes that it is his father's servant. Has something happened to his dad? Oh, he runs to meet the servant. And the servant says, your father has need of you. Please hurry. And they run to the house. And when he comes in panting and breathing hard from running, all of a sudden God speaks to Samuel's heart and says, there is your king. Oh, can you imagine how surprised David was? Me? Well, I'm just a kid. I'm going to be the next king in Israel? Folks, I'm telling you, our God can surprise us sometimes. I could go on and on and on and give you hundreds of examples where our Heavenly Father suddenly becomes the master of the unexpected. I mean, like a father surprising his children out of love for them. Our Heavenly Father sometimes does the same for each of us. When we were growing up, my dad used to surprise us when he'd come home on Friday evenings. He loved doing that. He would come in from work, and we would sit down at the dinner table, and Dad would get this little look on his face, and he would look over at us and say, "Boys, do you want to go trout fishing in the mountains in the morning?" Oh my, how we loved those surprises, those surprise trips where we got to hang out with our hero for a whole weekend. Wow, that was awesome. My dad loved to do that. And folks, our Heavenly Father delights in surprising us and in blessing our hearts, in doing things for us. Have we not had times along life's way where we felt just like Hagar out in the desert, full of despair, ready to just give up and quit, when all of a sudden we heard the music of a flowing well just a few steps away? Isn't it amazing how God provides for us and we don't even realize He's doing it? Oh, those surprises are good when they come from the Lord. Have we not, like David, wondered where the Lord was hiding from us when a Saul kept hounding our every step? But then we've been shocked to see God removing our obstacle, just like He did in David's life when He removed Saul so that David could become king. You see, folks, fatherly actions are a good indication of a genuine, loving father. And I think sometimes we're like the disciples who said to Jesus, "Show us the Father and it sufficeth us." Well, if most of us would just open our eyes, we could see the hand of God going before us. We could see the hand of God blessing and working and opening doors and closing others when we would clearly see God. We would realize that God is working in our hearts more than we ever imagined. Then there's a third thing I want you to think about. Think of this element of surprise when it comes to the change of character in us when we get saved. You know, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Man, isn't it amazing what God does for us? I have said many, many times that if you knew the past of the person that's sitting behind you or the person that's sitting in front of you, you'd probably move. You probably wouldn't be sitting there. But you see, when we get saved, God makes a change in us. God changes us. Have you ever had one of your kids, when they were growing up, do something or say something, and it surprised you? You kind of went, "Whoa, where'd that come from? Where did that come from?" I mean, the truth is, we all surprise one another every now and then with our lives as we grow. I remember learning in college that it was this surprise element that made Shakespeare such a great writer. You would get to know the characters in his play, and then at the end, out of the blue, he would completely flip their character so that they behaved in a surprise way. And that was one thing that made Shakespeare such an amazing author. You see, we can live with someone for years and we think we know them, and then they can surprise us. We learn to understand their likes and their dislikes and their tastes and their preferences, and we know what their reaction will be when something happens, and we'll even know what they're going to say. But the truth of the matter is, character is constantly surprising us, especially when someone gets saved or when they start growing in the Lord. And when that character it starts to display itself, man, it's a wonderful thing. And it's God who is making the change. Now, let me illustrate this. The name David Batchelor. We all know that name. David Batchelor. He's one of the boys here in our church. that is now pastoring down in the Gaithersburg, Maryland area. He and his wife went down there and his family, and they are starting a church. But David grew up here at Church the Open Door. Back when I first came here as the pastor in 1995, David was in the youth group. And I'm going to just be frank and honest with you. He was about as ornery as anybody in that youth group. David Bassler, when he was a teenager running around in the halls of this place, I'm just going to tell you, I wanted to choke the daylights out of that little squirt. Now, I wanted to do it in Christian love, of course, but I wanted to choke that little squirt. You know, if the truth were told, and he and I have laughed about this, if the truth were told, I'll guarantee you, he sat here under my ministry until he went into the service. He sat here under my ministry, and he sat over there under Pastor Curtis's ministry and Pastor Mark Campbell's ministry, and he sat in his Sunday school class and never heard a word anybody said. Never a word. I mean, even though he was sitting right here in the auditorium. But then he went off to the military, and he served his time, and he matured, and he came back to church when he got out. Got married, and I think that was the best thing that ever happened to him. He got married. Mary and Jim was the best thing that ever happened to that boy. She straightened him out. And they started coming to church. And down the aisle he would come during the invitation. And he would get on his knees and pray for God to help him. And he got the victory over some things. And he pulled that little earring out of his ear, grew up and became an adult, a man. And then he started coming out to visitation. And he took the Soul Winners Club. And then he came and surrendered his life to full-time Christian service. And then he went into the Open Door Bible College and earned his bachelor's degree. And then he started teaching Sunday school. And then he started filling in for the adult classes. And now he is pastor of a church down the road. I want to serve notice on you folks. Nobody is any more surprised by that than me. But that's our God. God can make some changes in a person's life. Was it me? Oh, no, no. Who changed that character? I'll tell you who did it. God did it. Surprised all of us. But oh, what a delightful surprise it is. I mean, the one who made the difference and the one who turned him around is the same one that now has him in the ministry serving him. A few years ago, Dr. Smith and I were standing at the National Sword of the Lord Conference. Dave and Jen came up and were talking to us. And after a few moments, and they were talking about the soul winning trip that everybody was going on that afternoon. And he was working all the details out with Dr. Smith on all that. He turned and walked away. And Dr. Smith looked at me and said, "Who is that?" I said, "That's David Bassler." He went, "Get out." I said, "I know. But yeah, it's him." He said, you mean the same bachelor that goes to Open Door? That I said, "Yeah, that's the same." "You mean David?" I said, "Yeah, that's him." Wow. We were all surprised. You know, it's amazing what God can do to the character of someone who will just listen to God's voice. If you just had an ear to hear God. Then number four, I got to hurry. Number four, does not this element of divine surprise come to its peak in the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, just think about it, folks. Think about His first coming. Just think about it. If you'll remember, I have taught you and we have learned over the years that the whole message, the entire message of the Old Testament Scripture is this: the Messiah is coming. That's what the Old Testament's all about. The Messiah is coming. The Messiah is coming. Now, listen. When he came, it surprised everybody. It surprised everybody. You want to know why it was such a surprise to them? It was such a surprise to them because he did not come the way they thought he ought to come. They just couldn't believe it. I mean, even though they were looking for him to come, everybody was surprised when he showed up. Why? Because they were looking for the wrong thing. They were looking for the wrong thing. What they were looking for was a king. They were looking for someone to deliver them from Rome. Even though the Old Testament scriptures prophesied that he had to come the first time as the Lamb of God, as a sacrifice for sin. And through the hardness of their hearts, through unbelief, they failed to see the reason for his coming. Now, think about it for just a moment. When a king sends an ambassador, a representative, to another country, he sends him royally. He is clothed in royal garments. He has, or she has, attendants that take care of their every need. They are sent with the finest of the fine. They are sent in the finest of transportation. I mean, everything is first class. And so when God sent his ambassador to this world, it surprised everybody. Because he did not come first class. They were expecting, I don't know, I guess they were expecting the Messiah to just step out of heaven down upon the Temple Mount, hold his hands up in the air, zap all the Romans and say, okay, I'm here. But he didn't come that way, did he? And you know, if you go back and read the Old Testament, you will see that he came exactly the way the Old Testament said he was supposed to come. Amazing. And yet they missed it. They missed it. When God sent forth his son, his ambassador, it surprised everybody. Everybody. The most surprising thing God ever did in his compassion for a world that is on its way to hell was to send his son to a manger, and then 33 and a half years later, to a cross. And folks, that is why the world did not believe him when he came and told them that he was the Messiah. Because you see, there was no grandeur. There was no pomp. There was no ceremony. There was no spectacular. When he came, when God sent himself in the form of his son, when God sent his ambassador, he looked like us. We just read a moment ago in Luke 2 that he grew in wisdom and in stature. You go back to the first part of the chapter and you will see he was born as a baby. They didn't want that. They wanted him to step out of heaven with lightning bolts flying out of his fingers. But he did not come as the king. He came as the Redeemer. He did not come as the lion. He came as the lamb. The Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Now, I don't know what they were expecting. But when he came, he was just like one of us. And he walked and he talked and he ate and he slept and he grew in wisdom and in stature just like us. And so when he came unto his own, what did John tell us? His own received him not. You say, well, then his coming must have been a failure. Oh, no. There's a comma at that verse. And then it goes on to say, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Man, I remember that day back in October of 1970 when I stepped out and walked down to an altar and got on my knees, and Gary Lane, the youth pastor, came and opened the Bible and said, Norris, here's what you need to do. You need to repent of your sin and call on Jesus. And I did. Oh my, what a change has been wrought in my life. Why? Why? Because the Lord delights in surprises. Hey, if I could get saved, anybody could get saved. If God could save me, God could save you. And when I read the Bible, God's eternal word, I cannot help but see that the God who surprises me with the wonder of his creation, the God that surprises me with the changes that he makes in lives, the God that changes me with the experiences and the divine appointments that he puts in my path, and is the same God who sent his only begotten Son, the only possible way that he could send him. He sent him in a surprising way to die on the cross, humiliated, ashamed, and embarrassed. Folks, they crucified him naked. Can you imagine? Oh, the shame and the humiliation. But it doesn't end there, does it? No, they took him down from the cross when he died, and they thought, we're done with him. They wrapped him in grave clothes and put him in a borrowed tomb. Why borrowed? Why buy one when you're only going to need it for 3 days? And on the third day, the stone was rolled away. And God surprised the world again. And folks, I'm here today to tell you that the world is about to be surprised again. He's coming back. Could be today. Oh, the surprises of God. Folks, don't ever get over. You say, well, that sure was a coincidence. If you want to live your life that way, you go right ahead. I don't believe there's any such thing. I'm going to give God credit when God does the miraculous in my life. I'm going to give God credit when God surprises me.